reflection for Palm Sunday following the shorter reading of the Passion Gospel from St. Mark's Gospel. My inclination is to hold the silence, to not speak, to let the words of the Gospel resonate deep within us as we mark the start of the most significant week of the Christian year. What more is there to say for the moment? And yet, this day is so disconcerting that perhaps there is a point to some kind of commentary on the events. Not least because we are so used to hearing so much more on Palm Sunday, about the woman coming with the jar of ointment and pouring it over Jesus' head, about Jesus Iscariot doing a deal with the high priests, about the Passover meal, and the agony in the garden in the darkness of Gethsemane. Then the trial of Jesus before the high priest, and Peter's denial of Jesus. And before all of that, there was the street party in Jerusalem that makes this Palm Sunday, a procession of witness with colour and palms and triumphant singing. That's a celebration, and usually, of course, we would have sung our way into church this morning from the square. But then we are abruptly plunged into the solemnity of the Passion. This service begins in triumph and ends in catastrophe. All in all, it is a most perplexing day. So, why do we do it? We could stay with the triumphant celebrations, join in with the party-going crowds in Jerusalem. This is our King too, after all, and it's good to sing Hosanna, when we can sing. But we don't. We don't stay with the party-going crowds. Why? Because otherwise it would be perfectly possible to go to church two Sundays running without ever having to face the fact that our King Jesus was abandoned, condemned, and put to death as a common criminal on the Friday in between. In this way, we are reminded once again that the crucifixion of Jesus is the key event. There is no way to get from Palm Sunday to Easter without Good Friday. We are to be a Good Friday people before we are an Easter people. In the days, even weeks before that first Palm Sunday procession into Jerusalem, Jesus had frightened those who were responsible for the upkeep of the status quo. He rattled the elders and the high priests with his storytelling and his signs and wonders. And perhaps most worrying of all were the large crowds who followed him around. What might happen next? What more might he do to destabilize the situation? What did happen next must have been the last straw. An eccentric carpenter's son riding into the holy city, followed by jubilant crowds hailing him as a king, riding on a donkey. To the religious leaders, if not to the Romans, this would have instantly recalled the words of the prophet Zephaniah, which were commonly believed to be messianic prophecy, the way things would happen when God's anointed delegate arrived to save them from their enemies and the hands of all that hated them. It was political dynamite, particularly in the run-up to a festival centred on the Passover story, emphasising the establishment of Israel as a nation freed from slavery and oppression in Egypt and on the way to self-governance and liberation. The elders and the priests must have shuddered and prayed fervently that the revolutionary significance of most of this would be lost on the Romans. This crowd-pulling, self-styled king on a prophetic donkey must have seemed like all their worst nightmares coming true. They knew only too well what would happen if the Romans thought a political uprising was starting. Mass executions would only be the beginning. The sunny happiness of the crowds was dispelled by rumours of fear. The mood changed. There were secret meetings, plots and plans made in the dark. The drama passes from light to darkness, from joy to fear, and Holy Week begins. The way to the cross stands open before us. We can turn away, unwilling to face the disgusting barbarity of human cruelty and the intensity of human suffering. Or we can choose to walk through Holy Week to reach the foot of the cross and to worship the Son of God, the eccentric carpenter from Nazareth who loved the world so passionately and dangerously that he gave his life for it. Hearing the Passion Gospel this morning reminds us of what is to come. And hearing it now, of course, is no reason for not coming back on Thursday and Friday. Each day of this week, we are invited to live through those events once again, to enter that time of menace and foreboding, to enter into the darkness of that suffering and the suffering of the world, to relive how and why it is that we are held together by our sharing of bread and wine, by our being the body of Christ broken for the world, to witness to that death and that life. So, as we walk the way of the cross this Holy Week, may our eyes and our hearts be opened to our wounded God, who finds us in death and gives us life. Amen.